Good morning. In Providence, I'm Elizabeth Harrison. State Treasurer Gina Raimondo is not commenting on a new poll out of Brown University that shows her with a lead in the Democratic primary for governor. The poll of more than 400 likely Democratic primary voters shows 42% would choose Raimondo, while just under 34% prefer Providence Mayor Angel Taveras. The poll has a margin of error of 4.5 percentage points. The results suggest a chink in the armor for Taveras, who commissioned his own poll last month, showing him with an 18-point lead over Raimondo. The Taveras campaign says it stands by that internal survey. Both Taveras and Raimondo are expected to run for governor next year, although neither has officially launched a campaign. Other likely candidates include Republican Cranston Mayor Alan Fung and Moderate Party founder Ken Block. If you've crossed the Saconnet River Bridge at least 25 times since the 10-cent toll kicked in, then you can expect a bill in the mail. As Rhode Island Public Radio's Catherine Welch reports, the state's Bridge and Turnpike Authority is starting to collect the controversial toll.
The Rhode Island Turnpike and Bridge Authority's David Darlington says there are 750,000 records of drivers who have crossed the bridge without being charged. Now the authority is ready to collect. If you have an easy pass, it will be charged. If you don't own an easy pass and have crossed the Saconnet Bridge, say, 20 times, no bill for you. But after you make that 25th trip, the authority will send out a bill of at least
$2.50. $2.50, you know, makes sense for us on a lot of levels, given the cost of a stamp and the envelope and so on. That seems like an appropriate level.
Darlington says drivers will have 30 days to pay the bill without penalty. The 10-cent toll is a placeholder until a legislative commission comes up with a toll plan for the Saconnet Bridge. Catherine Welch, Rhode Island Public Radio.
6 months ago, Newport resident Heather Abbott lost part of her leg in the Boston Marathon bombings. Today, she's not only walking again, she has started running on a specialized prosthetic. Abbott spoke before a packed lecture hall last night at Salve Regina University, and she says the so-called Blade Runner leg isn't her only prosthetic option. She's expecting a new one in the mail.
On a more exciting note, my high heel leg will be here any day now. So I'm really excited about that. And I was thinking that it wasn't coming at the best time of year because I'm not going to be able to show it off. But then I thought, well, only one of my legs is going to be cold. So maybe I could.
Abbott says she is continuing physical therapy and she's scheduled for another surgery to repair a hole in her eardrum caused by the blast. She says donations from the public, the Marathon Bombing Fund in Boston, and private foundations have helped pay for her steep medical costs. And prosecutors in the Aaron Hernandez murder case want the judge to recuse herself. Assistant District Attorney William McCauley hasn't explained his position, but did say in 2010 that Judge Susan Garsh was antagonistic to prosecutors. Hernandez's lawyers are against a recusal. Hernandez appeared at a pretrial hearing yesterday in Fall River Superior Court. It was his first time in court since his arraignment over the summer.
This is a repair that came in. We do a lot of repair work this time of year.
Steve Thurston gazes down at a huge white triangle of a sail stretched across the entire floor of Quantum Sales Facility. The plant sits in an industrial park outside the cute historic part of Bristol. Thurston's grandfather started the company in Barrington, moved it to Warren, then Thurston opened this facility back in the late 80s. He's been in the business for 40 years, since high school. He loves everything about making sales. Can't blame him. The job's got great perks.
Sometimes we have to bring them to the Caribbean and use them for a week down there. So, yeah.
Oh, gosh, it's a tough job.
It's good stuff.
Quantum employs 15 people and can make a sail from design to finish. Not all sails are one big triangle. Some are made from dozens of pieces. Workers craft patterns on the computer. Others cut those pieces out on a huge cutting machine and then sew the pieces together on the factory floor. And when I say on the factory floor, the pieces are literally on the floor.
When we were building this building, we knew that we wanted to have the sewing machine sunk in the floor.
That's right. Thurston designed the place, so the sail pieces are on the floor, and the person doing the sewing is sitting in a box in the floor.
So we went to a local boat builder, and we had him build ice boxes, and we sank these ice boxes in the floor And when we drop the sewing machines in, because of the winter conditions here, the boxes stay nice and warm.
These days, he builds sails for old boats more than new ones.
A lot of people, through those tough times, were able to hold on to their boats. So we do a lot of aftermarket on older boats. So we do a lot of repair work, and we also build a lot of sails for older boats.
Things are starting to pick up. Quantum Sails held steady during the recession, not losing business, but not gaining any either. Thurston knows he's luckier than most, though it pained him to watch the effects of a bad economy rumble through Bristol's boat building industry.
Well, it was tough. There were some great boat builders right here in this little mecca of boat building we have here in Bristol, and a lot of them just disappeared.
Boat building industry in Bristol got really whacked.
That was like, I liken it to getting hit in the head with a baseball bat.
That's boat builder Eric Gertz and Ben Hall of Hall Spars and Rigging. Every year since Hall Spars opened in 1980, it had seen year-over-year growth. But after the bottom fell out in 2008, Hall had a year when business was half of the year before.
It was like a precipitous drop-off. It didn't happen gradually. It was like falling off a cliff.
Hall makes masts, booms, and all the rigging that goes along with having a sail. Masts used to be made of aluminum, but Hall Spars and Rigging was one of the first to make them out of a lighter carbon fiber. Today, the company is one of the best in the world. But after cutting his Bristol staff in half and walking away from multi-million-dollar projects that wouldn't have turned a penny in profit, Hall moved away from strictly making boat masts and now lands jobs for architecture and military projects. Finding new markets is the name of the game in Bristol's boat building industry.
He's creating a very shiny, smooth surface.
Eric Gertz walks through the large warehouse of Gertz Composites, checking in on a coworker, buffing the surface of a mold for a boat part. They work in carbon fiber. The company helped build a number of boats that competed in the America's Cup. Like Ben Hall at Hall Spars and Rigging, Gertz has branched out into architecture and projects for New York City's Department of Transportation. He's had to.
Well, in 08, 09, we basically crashed.
At its peak, Gertz employed 85 workers. Today, there are 15. And even though the business, Gertz Composites, bears his name, he lost it in the recession. Now he's an employee, the chief technology officer.
We're growing, and we're trying to continue to work with the companies with whom we'd worked with all along. But some of our colleagues are having real pain still.
Gertz says he sees signs of the industry picking up. But a rising tide hasn't lifted all boat builders. Wendy Mackey of the Rhode Island Marine Trade Association says the recession wiped out half of the boat building industry. The biggest gains, she says, are in composite technology, working in fiberglass or carbon fibers like what Gertz deals in. And because of companies like Gertz, Hall Spars, and Quantum Sails, Mackey says Bristol has an edge in this recovering sector by turning the town into a virtual boat building company.
Because everybody's located in one finite area within, you know, a 5 to 10 mile radius, it makes a boat designer or a boat builder able to sort of have a virtual boat building company. They're able to go from one place to another inside of a day and see all of their different components of the boat that need to come together in order to create that custom boat.
When you say Bristol, I think your average Rhode Islander would say 4th of July.
Right. Right. Fourth, well, we're known for that too, aren't we?
But wouldn't it be nice if you said Bristol and they said boat building?
Yes, yes. And in the industry, you do say Bristol or Rhode Island, and the rest of the nation knows.
Mackey says Rhode Islanders have the right to burn with a pride for Bristol, not just because it hosts the nation's oldest 4th of July celebration, but because of the impact companies here make on the boat industry worldwide. Catherine Welch, Rhode Island Public Radio.